You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is Debbie Laux, and you're listening to the Horsemanship Radio. Thanks for joining us. Horsemanship Radio airs on the 1st and the 15th of the month, and it's brought to you by Hands-On Gloves, the all-in-one shedding, grooming, bathing gloves. We have a rare opportunity where Monty Roberts sits down with Simon Stokes, one of his earliest students, who really took up his concepts and created champions together. It started a dynasty of working together with thoroughbreds and champions for over 30 years. And here are old friends remembering some of those stories. Listen in. I get questions like this all the time. Why do you love Hands-On Gloves? Or why are Hands-On Gloves better than any other product that you use? You have nothing but Hands-On Gloves around the farm. I say these answers. Whatever hits me at the time of when they're asking them. One, they really work. I mean, so much hair comes off. So many animals around here. We've got horses, but we've got dogs and cats. So they really work. Two, I think our animals really enjoy them. They prefer them over the curries and the other little scrubbies that we have. And both hands are on their body. So we're half the time and double the results. Three, I like them. They're comfortable. They fit my hand. They're easy to remove hair and they stay on. So for me, it's really easy to slip on two hands worth of Hands-On Gloves and get after the bath or the shedding or grooming times. And we have a lot of horses retired in pastures here, as well as horses in work. And so we don't have a lot of time to get after all that hair that starts coming off, but in the fall too, when we've got the long and the flies and the whole thing. So get your Hands-On Gloves. If you're like me, I enjoy them from three different directions. Well, welcome. I have Monty Roberts and Simon Stokes here, and anybody who's ever followed Monty's career knows that Simon Stokes is an institution, is an iconic part of Monty's legacy. It is for me, and I think it is for you too, Dad. Yeah?
It certainly is. And, you know, we came together in a very unusual way, in that Simon was a jockey, and he was at the racetrack in Germany, and he was riding in races with steeplechase horses and so forth. And I went there because we had a horse that was fantastic, and he was in trouble, big trouble. And his owner was a billionaire and owned one of the best farms in Germany. Simon was riding for that owner's boss or that owner's trainer in town. And when this horse got in trouble, they moved him out of town to the farm, and it was fantastic when the owner walked up to me, put his finger in my chest and said, "You have a job for life. I want you to save this horse and then do all these babies." And it made another life for me. Mm-hmm. And it gave me another relative because Simon Stokes was like a brother, not a student. He was a good rider and everything, knew nothing about my concepts at the time, but I didn't make one sentence that didn't go right straight through and into action to get the horses right. Simon Stokes became, in my opinion, the best farm manager and trainer of farm horses, expensive thoroughbred horses, the best of anybody on this earth. And I was all over this earth. Simon is family. Simon is something that, if there is a God in heaven and if there is a place to go, I am now 90 years old, if there's a place to go where anything can be done, I want Simon there with me. He can wait a while. I can see the expression on his face saying, don't ask me too quick, but that's okay. Believe me, he's family. And he's been here about every third year or second year ever since the end of my relationship in Germany. And it's just been a fantastic relationship.
Nice. Well, a lot of us who have listened to this podcast and a lot of us who know the Monty Roberts story know that Lomitas is a big part of the turning point in Monty Roberts' career. You'd already met the Queen, and it was generally accepted that you worked not only in the thoroughbred industry, but you fixed horses that maybe had a people problem. But Simon, when you first met Monty, did you know much about his background at that point?
Absolutely nothing. And to be honest, when we started the yearlings and Monty told me what we were going to do, then I really got worried. But we were very lucky to have a totally crazy filly at the beginning of our relationship, Monty and I, and this filly that after half an hour of me saying, there's no chance I'm going to get on this filly, she's crazy. And Monty saying, just wait and watch. After 30 minutes, I was up there riding her and walk, trot, canter. And that convinced me that this is the way to do it, which we've done over 600 yearlings together after that. The worst of the worst and the best of the best, and it's always worked. And it's been a fantastic time, and I would never, ever want to start a yearling in any other way than this way.
Right.
Yeah.
So have the 600 a few champions?
Oh, quite a few champions. We had some really, really good horses, top-class international horses that have been there. For example, Silvano or Sabiango that are won in America, Hong Kong, Singapore, Dubai. They've been champions. Cuijano, top-class horses. Even horses that we started and sold that have been winning internationally. It's fantastic.
So what convinced, why that one filly was a turning point? Do you remember?
You know, I do remember the filly. But I didn't see her as a turning point.
Of course not.
I saw her as a very nervous, difficult filly to join with the human race or the human spirit and try to go do something that we're asking her to do. Whew, she was really tough. But I didn't see that as being something we couldn't fix. And we fixed it so fast. But one of the things that went through my head at that time was she was really intelligent. And the world in front of her didn't look right being what it was. Something had to be changed so that she wasn't in pain. Something had to be changed so that she wasn't trying to run over the people, pull away from the people, buck them off. Something had to change, and it did change. And I tell you, Simon can probably remember what her future went on to be. Was she a winner?
She was a several-time winner herself. She wasn't a champion, but I don't think if we hadn't have used this method to start her with join-up, she would never have seen the racetrack.
Never even the racetrack.
No. She would. She was so different to other horses that I was totally convinced after the half an hour work with her and me from seeing her as a raw, crazy filly to being a horse to get up on and ride. Well, I was convinced she would never have made it without this.
Mm. So it begs the question of how many horses never make it to the track that are sensitive, talented, athletic, because they're not understood. Yeah,
that's very true. You know, I've learned, and all of Monty's students, we've learned to try and understand the horse, what they're trying to tell us, and to move on together, sorting that problem together. It's real fun and interesting because everyone is different, and I just wouldn't do it any different.
What's your advice to students that are just getting to these concepts, kind of like you were 35 years ago, just seeing the concepts, but now there's a little more exposure? I mean, it's a little more well-known now, but not pervasive. What's your advice to students who are curious about these?
Always give the horse a chance. They're trying to tell you something. Every horse is different. I see them now as human beings, because even if they're four brothers and sisters in a family, they're all different minds, different people, and the horse is no different. They just need to be understood, and you need patience, and just try and understand them, what they're trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And with these methods, you can achieve anything.
Mm. And bottom line, what's the difference? What was the big shift in methodology from what you knew being growing up with horses to changing?
Well, I grew up and used the method that everyone else used in England until I was 16, 17. Came over to Germany when I was 19, doing the same method as everyone else. That's what we learned to do, and until Monty came, and then I was 31 years old. It changed my way of thinking completely, and I think anyone with a bit of horse sense, and understanding for animals and so on, would never want to do it different when they've experienced this sort of thing, because they become a partner and not just something that has to obey with us.
Mm-hmm. We're a little bit afraid of change, aren't we? We're afraid of the unknown. It begs the question of what goes through a person's brain when they see a horse do something that they unexpected to them. It doesn't follow the suit. Why are we afraid of that?
I'm not afraid of that.
No, you're not.
humans are afraid of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, stop and look. Take a broad look at what Simon and I went through. And let's say that there is a God in heaven and that God makes things happen. So we'll pitch in this filly that will test everybody in sight. And the owner will be tested. Is he going to leave her in? Is he going to put her down? A lot of people would have put her down. And Simon and I had this thrown right square in the middle of our relationship.
Right.
That put us, when it started to go right, that put us on a glide path.
Absolutely.
That took us straight to my principles, which was no violence at all, and use God's method of getting through to those underlying thoughts of the four-legged equine animal called horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's throw in that package one of the best horses that ever walked the face of the earth, Lomitas. He was trying to kill people, and people were going to throw him out of the business of racing. If it hadn't been for him being owned by a billionaire, he probably would have been thrown out of the racing business. The starter at the starting gate said, I'm never going to pass this horse. I don't need to come over and watch him. I'm never going to pass him. And Simon told me that he said that, and Mr. Jacobs told me the same thing. The owner told me the same thing, but the owner owned the track. And he said, I want you to go. You can stand back and just watch what this California cowboy does and then make your decision. Not staying over off the track and out of sight and then make the decision. go look. We'll listen to you if you still want to throw him out. Well, within 2 days, we had the test. 2 or 3 days. And I took him to the starting stalls. And the guy was there, and he stood way back. And he was going to make notes and stuff. And I watched his jaw drop as this horse was taking up my concepts. And remember that this was a very strange horse that God sent us, because he had a groom that was a lady. And he loved that lady. And he was never going to be dangerous for the lady. Everybody knew that, but they kind of hid their eyes on it, because he will kill a man. And probably most ladies, but not this one, you know. So Simon and I were thrown a bunch of ways to be put in trouble. And the horses took us out of trouble and started down a path to become one of the best stables of horses anywhere on the face of the earth over a long, long period of time. How many years, Simon?
Well, as a racehorse, he was up to his 4 or 5 year old, and then as a stallion till he was, I think, 22, being a champion as a racehorse and a champion stallion.
Amazing.
But the racing industry in general had a lot of these kind of horses, didn't it?
They are. There are a lot of difficult horses around, but the methods now that have been taught over the years, they're using them. They're asking me, Simon, how can you help with this horse and so on? And we've had a lot of success through what I've learned through Monty at the starting gates and other problems. A lot of horses have been winning races which would have never won or gone into the starting gate if it hadn't have been for Monty's methods. Mm-hmm. And I've been able, through Monty, to help a lot of people.
Let me start with incremental. It's a big word that Monty uses quite a bit. And in my mind, incremental is step by step by step, watching each phase of the next thing that you're challenging the horse with or introducing to the horse with is, and watching them take that up incrementally is like a little increment at a time. And this is where people say, gosh, Monty takes a lot of time. You know, I don't take that much time to get a horse on a trailer. Why would you do that? And yet, he also, flipped the coin, gets criticized for going too fast. Wait a minute. What did you say? You got a saddle, bridle, and rider up in 30 minutes? That's ridiculous. Are you microwaving these horses or what? That's too fast. So how can you be criticized for being too slow and too fast at the same time?
I think you're reading the horse. You're understanding the horse, what you can do and what you can't do. And these are the moments where you can judge exactly what the horse is telling you, what he's happy with and what he's not happy with. And they'll take a little bit longer on what he's not happy with, but understanding why he's not happy with it. And giving him a chance to be comfortable in that situation. And it's whatever way you go, faster or slower, the matter is just understanding the horse, what he's trying to tell you.
Beautiful. That is exactly right.
Let's take the word segment, and let's just kind of put it over this side of the table here, the word segment. Things happen segmentally,
okay.
Incrementally.
Okay.
The sliding in various occasions is incremental, and horses make their decisions incrementally. They don't make a decision until the decision is staring them in the face and they make that decision to save their own life. That's the flight animal. They do that. So segments of training, incrementally training, it's about the same thing. And I go in the round pen. I just got through with one last week that was, you go in the round pen, he wants to kill you. And he had every good reason to want to kill you. He's obviously been beaten up by people. He was just really angry. And I had ladies up there yelling, get out of there, he's going to kill you, he's going to kill you. Incrementally, I said, go on away from me. And he said, okay, and went away. And he would kick the walls, he would make runs at me and then stop and go the other way. They don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. So if I incrementally show him that through conversation, that when he does it the right way, I'm with him. And generally speaking, that's to go away, walk away, to go incrementally downhill and breathe down. The diaphragm is so obviously part of the horse's ability to save his own life or to kill an intruder from trying to take the life of a foal. Incremental is a very beautiful word for flight animals. Segmentive training is just another way to describe the same thing. So you don't hammer down on a horse. Parents do it to children mm-hmm. when they shouldn't. Let the child get a little trouble here and then show the child what that trouble got them. Mm-hmm. And here, let's go this way with it and it'll get better. That's incremental training.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. They find value in that. When they find value in it, then that's intrinsic,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And my entire set of values in my training that I teach is to do that, is to show the animal victory, mm-hmm. show the animal defeat by putting them to work.
Gotcha. Defeat or at least a choice that they've made, right?
Yeah.
It's their choice though, yeah? So as we speak, it's almost October. It really is. What's happening in Simon Stokes' world in October?
Well, in October, we're still racing in Germany. And we have the yearling sales, where there's been a lot of prep going on and some good sales results for us in Baden-Baden. And we have a bunch of babies going to Newmarket for Tats, Book 1, Book 2. And some to go into France to the Arcana sales. That's our major work time at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then after that, end of October, hanging into November, we'll start getting the rest of our yearlings in that we can start to handle them and get them ready for join-up, to be saddled and ridden.
Perfect. So you're still on the same rhythms all those years later.
Same procedure as every year.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for sitting down with us, giving us a little share of your visit together. I don't want to take any more time of your sharing together. But when are you back?
Good question. Mm. Next year.
Yeah. Okay. 2026. Perfect.
I'd love to.
Okay. We've got it recorded now, so we have to do okay. that.
Yeah, I hope he can come back and I'm still here to see him.
Yep.
You know, because time marches on mm-hmm. and my next birthday is in May mm-hmm. and I'm 91 then.
Right.
And that's way past what men generally live through. So, I can't physically do things now, but I think I can be more mentally capable of helping others do those same things than I ever was. Because I do have a pretty darn good memory in that area. I can't remember where I left my phone. I can't remember a lot of things. But horses, flight animals, oh, I remember them so well, and they're like family to me.
Hmm. Thank you both.
Thank you.
If you can't come take a class in person, Monty Roberts Online University brings the classroom to you. With over 800 video lessons there now, Monty teaches you his world-renowned methods. Join up, trailer loading, starting young horses, and solving behavioral challenges, all without violence. Named one of Horse and Hound magazine's top 50 horsemen of all time, Monty shares a lifetime of experience, to help you build trust and partnership with your horse. Join the thousands around the world who are transforming their horsemanship one gentle lesson at a time. Visit MontyRobertsUniversity.com, because if you listen to your horse will listen to you. For details about today's show, go to horsemanshipradio.com, where you can find links and photos and more information about our guests. We love connecting with the listeners. So please follow us on Facebook under facebook.com/Monty Roberts and Instagram. That's instagram.com/Monty_Roberts. Many thanks to our sponsors, too. That's handsongloves.com and MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Be sure to visit all the other great shows on the Horse Radio Network at www.horseradionetwork.com. Until next time, have many happy horse hours.